From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, February 12th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
The Maine Center for Disease Control has identified 201 more cases of COVID-19. Two more people have died, bringing the pandemic death toll in the state to 643. The state CDC says more than 226,000 doses of the vaccine have been given. That's up 10,000 from numbers reported the day before. Hospitalizations in the state have dropped to their lowest levels since Thanksgiving. With COVID-19 cases on the decline, Maine public health officials are advising that all public schools across the state may consider full in-person classes. Every county in Maine has been classified as green in the latest update to the state's color-coded school health advisory system, meaning they have a relatively low risk of virus transmission. Governor Mills has issued an executive order allowing for larger gatherings at houses of worship. The new guidance allows for 5 people per 1,000 square feet of space, which is the same guideline set for retail stores. Previously, the number of people allowed inside a church or other house of worship was capped at 50, regardless of size. Social distancing and masks will still be required. And Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says she has not decided how she'll vote on the impeachment case against former President Donald Trump, but says the videos of the January 6th insurrection shown at the trial have been haunting. Mal Leary has more.
Collins says the videos presented by the House managers brought back the horror of that day and demonstrated the intent of the rioters to disrupt the process of certifying the Electoral College votes at any cost.
It reminded me of how determined the rioters were to disrupt us from doing our constitutional duty.
Collins says the video from surveillance cameras was particularly disturbing, as it revealed how close the rioters came to attacking members of Congress as they were being evacuated to a safe area of the Capitol. She says the House managers did a good job presenting their case to the Senate, but wants to hear the totality of the proceedings before deciding how to vote. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And looking at weather tonight, cloudy with flurries in the far north and lows 8 below zero to 9 above. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and quiet with highs in the mid-teens to high 20s. Sunday, occasional light snow with skies partially clearing in the afternoon in the north and highs in the high teens to the low 30s. With so much economic upheaval caused by the pandemic, some community organizations in Maine are reporting they have received far more applications for heating assistance this winter. And as Robbie Feinberg reports, barriers raised by the pandemic have made it harder for some people to apply.
Sean Yardley, the CEO of Lewiston-based Community Concepts, says pride has long been a factor that stopped families from applying for heating assistance. But he says because of the economic situation that so many families across the state are now facing, his organization has already received more than 6,300 applications this year, an increase of more than 1,000 from last year.
Just because of the economic insecurity that many people are feeling, especially those that are living more on the margins and have relied on heating assistance in the past or maybe never had to and wanted to get in early for fear of how the program worked and to make sure they were able to get some help.
The Maine State Housing Authority, meanwhile, reports that applications for assistance are up nearly 3% statewide compared to this time last year. In Presque Isle, Erin Benson with the Aroostook County Action Program says her agency is on pace to receive significantly more applications for the program, but she views that increase as a good thing. Benson says it means her agency is reaching a lot more people who may not have sought out assistance in the past.
The numbers tell us that there are far more people in poverty that are not accessing this benefit that could. So, you know, we certainly want to help anybody who has been, you know, hit by this pandemic. But we also want to help people who just qualify for the benefit itself.
Because of limits on in-person visits, community agencies have also had to rethink how they help their clients apply for assistance, especially in rural areas. Officials with the Kennebec Valley Community Action Program say they've hired 5 more staff members this year to help people apply over the phone. And in Aroostook County, Erin Benson says her agency has been forced to get creative to assist clients who have limited access to broadband or digital devices.
It's been an interesting time to try and triage with someone about, well, you know, do you have a smartphone? Can you take a picture of it? Can you email it to me? And, you know, see the little square down at the bottom with the arrow up? If you push that on, you know, it just is trying to help people get us the paperwork has been a struggle through this time when those places that are typically open that help people with those kinds of things, like libraries and town offices and those kinds of things. So it's been a struggle for clients.
In Western Maine, Sean Yardley with Community Concepts says he worries that even with that extra outreach, the additional barriers may prevent some clients from receiving the help they need. To increase participation in the program, Yardley says his organization has been encouraging people to apply for heating assistance at the same time that they apply for other state benefits, such as the rental relief program.
And so when we're working with them at that, if we believe them to be eligible for LIHEAP, we encourage them to apply.
Applications for heating assistance will be accepted through July, and emergency assistance is available through April. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Throughout the pandemic, the Maine Department of Labor has struggled to process unemployment claims and get checks to people out of work. The state's struggles are not unique, and neither are its efforts to hire private consultants to help them get through the backlog in claims. But one private contract authorized by the Maine Department of Labor is raising eyebrows because it involves a global consulting firm known as McKinsey & Company. Chief political correspondent Steve Missler is here to talk about it. Steve, McKinsey & Company was in the news last week because it had just agreed to a nearly $600 million multi-state settlement agreement for its role in turbocharging the opioid crisis. You report today that McKinsey is now being paid by the Maine Department of Labor to help it process unemployment claims. Tell us about this contract.
Sure. So as you may recall, Nora, the state labor department was absolutely buried in unemployment claims last spring. It couldn't process claims quickly, and people out of work were waiting weeks and sometimes months to even learn if their claim was accepted. Payments were delayed to thousands of people, and a lot of this is the result of years and cuts in computer systems that just couldn't handle this crush of claims. So the state was under a lot of pressure to fix this, and it really didn't have the resources at the ready to do so. So in June, McKinsey & Company, a global consulting firm, approached the Maine Department of Labor and offered them proprietary expertise to help solve this problem. The department and McKinsey inked a deal that was worth about $2 million at the outset, but that contract has since been extended twice, and it's now worth about $6.3 million.
Okay, proprietary expertise. What was McKinsey offering the Labor Department exactly?
Right. Well, it billed itself as offering this expertise in managing data analytics and overhauling the user interface that begins the unemployment claims process for people. It also touted its ability to curb fraudulent claims. In doing so, McKinsey basically sent a team of about a half dozen consultants to assist the department at a rate of about $178,000 per week. Now, that's a lot of money, and that's one of the reasons why this contract and others with agencies in other states are generating so much scrutiny. The question here is whether states are getting much in return for hiring a firm that's clearly seizing an opportunity created by the pandemic and getting paid through this slug of federal money that's been flowing to the states through pandemic relief. Now, McKinsey and other consulting firms have secured contracts worth more than $120 million nationwide, according to an analysis by the Wall Street Journal last fall. And that number is growing as contracts are extended, just like this one in Maine has been. You know, the other reason for the scrutiny is that McKinsey is a controversial company. It was the subject of an investigation by the New York Times for its role in helping the Trump administration execute its immigration policy. And as you mentioned, that multi-state settlement agreement for its role in the opioid crisis. Well, Maine received about $3 million from that settlement agreement, and here it is turning around, paying that same firm more than $6 million to fix its unemployment claims problems.
And do we know if Maine is getting much in return for this contract?
Well, it's really hard to quantify because McKinsey is part of the department's multifaceted response to this unemployment problem. You know, the department has hired additional staff, it's beefed up its call center, and it's overhauled its website. But exactly how McKinsey fits into this is a little bit fuzzy from the outside looking in. I will say that the department gives the firm quite a bit of credit for improving the processing of claims. At the moment, the Labor Department is ranked number 6 in the country in terms of speed of claims paid. It's also a little bit closer to the federal requirement that states pay 87% of all claims within 21 days of acceptance. As of December, Maine's rate was 81%. That's just shy of the federal benchmark. In August, it was at 21%. So that's a pretty big improvement, but it's not quite clear how much McKinsey has helped improve it or how much just the department is digging itself out of this big hole. And, you know, it's also important to remember that that federal requirement is the floor. It's not the ceiling. And so there's still a lot of people that are going without, you know, benefits. At the same time, you know, only 9 states are hitting that floor. So Maine is not alone and not quite achieving that federal benchmark.
This seems like yet another story that shows how the pandemic's exposing problems in government programs that people really needed when the pandemic hit, but that were not up to the task.
Yeah, Nora, I think that's right. I mean, the pandemic is a once in 100 years crisis, right? So it's important to keep that in perspective. But there's no denying there's been a systemic whittling of funding for certain programs that made things like unemployment systems ill-equipped to handle this crisis. And when you have government systems that fail at a time of great need, there's immense public pressure to fix them and fix them fast. And that's a prime opportunity for consulting firms to jump in and cash in on the crisis. Now, look, maybe the Maine Department of Labor couldn't have improved its claims without McKinsey's help, but that help probably wouldn't have been necessary if the investments and design of the unemployment system were adequate in the first place.
And Steve Missler is Maine Public's chief political correspondent. Steve, thanks for talking with me and thanks for your reporting on this.
My pleasure, Nora.
The Maine Department of Corrections announced today that it's expanding medication-assisted treatment for residents of state correctional facilities who have opioid use disorder. The use of medication in combination with counseling and behavioral therapy is considered the best way to avoid relapse and overdose deaths. And as Susan Sharon reports, by November, anyone residing in an MDOC facility who is medically qualified will be able to receive it.
According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, incarcerated individuals who are released to the community are between 10 and 40 times more likely to die of an opioid overdose than the general population, especially in the first few weeks of getting out. And Dr. Ryan Thornell, Deputy Commissioner of the MDOC, says data show the need for treatment for substance use disorder in Maine correctional facilities is great.
We know anywhere between 60 and 75% of our incarcerated men and women have some level of substance use treatment need. And, you know, more than half of the women coming into our system are coming in specifically for drug crimes. And so we know this is probably the most significant area of impact we can make while they're with us.
Beginning next week, MDOC will offer medication-assisted treatment, or MAT, to cohorts of about 150 medically eligible residents at a time. The first phase will be those with less than 12 months until their release. After that, it will be for those with less than 18 months. And by the fall, the treatment will be available to anyone medically eligible to receive it, including those coming from county jails. It's a cultural shift for the prison system, where staff concerns about diversion of drugs and misconceptions about using medication in recovery have been a challenge.
The key to implementing any of this change and trying to shift the culture in any organization is education and including the staff and the decision making.
Corrections Commissioner Randy Liberty says in the past, sheriffs, corrections officers, and others have often taken the view that going cold turkey in jail is a good thing. But Liberty says experience has shown otherwise.
We have seen the significant damage that's done, people being released and overdosing.
In Maine and around the country, lawsuits have successfully challenged the lack of scientifically valid treatment for substance use disorder in jails and prisons. And in 2019, through an executive order from Governor Janet Mills to combat the state's opioid epidemic, a pilot program to offer MAT services for those incarcerated by the MDOC was begun. In partnerships with Groups Recover Together and Day One, the pilot program began with 100 participants in four facilities. Since then, more than 500 men and women have taken part. And Ryan Thornell says early indicators are that they are doing well.
You know, we track overdose deaths, and we also track retention in community programming, time at first appointment, compliance with first appointment. Our probation officers check in with treatment providers in the community. And all of those markers show that this is effective.
Commissioner Liberty says the program wouldn't have been possible without MaineCare expansion. It's being paid for through a combination of corrections medical funding and funding from the Office of Behavioral Health at a cost of about $1 million for this year. Through the program expansion, corrections officials expect to treat more than 600 men and women at any given time, about a third of the state's prison population. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.